bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
Triple Bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging, and to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people who are listening today. We acknowledge that this land was never ceded, no treaty was ever signed, and that it always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This is Triple Bypass, your weekly bisexual plus radio takeover, and this is All By Myself, our coming out special. I'm Ruby, filling in for Claire, as we bring you this monthly show within a show that's all about bi plus story sharing. You can find us on our socials at Facebook, Triple Bypass, Instagram, Triple Bypass Joy, email at any time at triplebypass@joy.org.au. We'd love to hear from you. I'm joined by Roz Bellamy. Roz is a freelance writer and the online editor at Archer Magazine. Their work has appeared in the anthologies Growing Up Queer in Australia, Going Postal, More Than Yes or No, and Living and Loving in Diversity. And in publications including The Big Issue, The Guardian, Kill Your Darlings, Overland, SBS and the Sydney Morning Herald. Roz is writing a memoir about gender diversity, Judaism and mental illness and is a PhD candidate at La Trobe University researching how young LGBT plus people construct their own narratives. Welcome, Roz.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
It's so wonderful to have you and talk to you about this special episode of All By Myself. And so let's get started with the big question. When did you first start noticing your multigender attraction? What was your coming out story?
So my bi plus story kind of begins in high school, where all my crushes were very much multigender, and I just didn't use any label for it because I was kind of scared and didn't want to come to terms with it and what it might mean. So instead I was just like, I find so many people attractive, and like kept intense notes about that in my diary, and like was very secretive about it. Didn't talk to anyone in my life or elsewhere about it. A particularly bi experience was when I had a crush on my female English teacher and one of the male students in my class at the same time.
Yeah.
And like trying to deal with that during year 12 at that like very heightened time of hormones and stress about the exams and all of those things going on. And then like being both, you know, obsessed with both a teacher and a student of different sexes was very confusing. And like, I still didn't put language to it then. It was just, yeah, like, okay, this is exciting and a bit weird. And then I didn't really kind of come to terms with it and what it meant until much later.
Was bi the first kind of identity you came out as?
No, so I came out as a lesbian first. And it's funny, when I tell people that, particularly like older queer folk, I've had the comment before, oh, you went the wrong way around, like that I came out as a lesbian and then came out as bi, and like they think that's quite funny, and I'm like, actually it's not.
Yeah,
and so I guess because to me the queer part of my identity was so important, and because there was very little bi visibility or representation, I kind of felt like to be in what I thought of at the time as a same-sex relationship meant that I was gay, basically, and
yeah.
That's how I had to come out. And it wasn't until years into a queer relationship that I actually started thinking, well, you know what, like in my case, the crushes that I had before, I know for some people who are gay or lesbian identified that they kind of go, oh, no, that was just part of my, you know, emerging sexuality, but I'm very much only attracted to this particular gender.
Mm.
Whereas in my case, I started to look back and kind of go, well, actually, no, all of that was very valid as well. And realizing that my attraction as an adult is much wider and more diverse than I could ever just categorize as one gender. And that just didn't feel right to me anymore. And it became quite important to me to be out about that. And so I wrote a piece where I like loudly proclaimed I was bi, and that was in 2015. And people were kind of surprised because even though I had started to mention it to friends and stuff, they were still kind of like, oh. And
you're going to be public about it. You're going to really say it out there.
Yeah. And I even like called out my sisters-in-law who was still at the time like constantly making comments that were very kind of monosexual, like around like, oh, you wouldn't understand that that guy is attractive because you're gay. And I'm like, remember how I've told you I'm bi like many times? And they're like, oh no, I don't remember that. And so I felt the need to be like very loud about it. And having a piece come out that then happened to be like right after Bi Visibility Day and like it got widely shared meant that like it was just this great way to really be public about it and not have to come out for a while again.
And what was it like to kind of experience that as an adult to realize that you had to come out again though, like that you did have to, you know, come out of a different closet, I guess?
Well, by then I was pretty used to coming out, like even just coming out as queer or as a lesbian. You know, I had that kind of process of realization that I was going to have to do that again and again kind of throughout my life. So it wasn't weird. It was just adapting it to come out as something else. And I still, like, as you, I'm sure you're very used to yourself, like I still have to do it even in places where it's surprising that you have to. And like some examples, again, it's often in the queer community, particularly with like the L and the G, the lesbian and the gay people in the community, where there's that assumption made and terminology used that doesn't quite fit. And I have to kind of say it. And as I say it, I'm sometimes like, oh my gosh, I'm really probably very annoying to them. And I'm conscious of that, but I'm also still like, as a bisexual, and I feel the need to say it. And I was recently part of this event where the other speaker, who is a lesbian, was talking about like a few decades ago how everything was very, very much framed around the L and the G in the queer alphabet. And I was like, oh, actually, it's still like that, by the way. And yeah, so I kind of don't hold back anymore. And that's like quite a nice feeling after like a lot of time repressing that side.
It is interesting, isn't it, how having to come out and assert and remind people that you're bisexual is seen as an annoying thing. Do you think that with yourself, was it harder to find celebration in a bi identity than it had been when you had been identifying as a lesbian?
It was until I started encountering you particularly.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, I would say so. And until I kind of came across like the work that you were doing, I genuinely hadn't come across bi community at all. So yeah, absolutely. Like as a lesbian at the time, as I thought I was, there was very much space. It wasn't always like the most suited for me, but it existed. And even in the terms of like, in terms of healthcare, queer healthcare, that kind of stuff, it was very much framed around being gay or lesbian and in community and social events, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I hadn't come across any bi community until you. So thank you. You're the best.
No, you're the best. Sorry. In what is not an uncommon thing, I'm going to get teary on my own show, which is, look, I think the fact that you were banging the bi drum, I think well before this, without knowing about that community space speaks a lot to, there's a level of just of bravery and I think as well just relentless stubbornness in that it sounds as well, which is always really wonderful. And as someone who proudly calls themselves an obnoxious bisexual, I think that's a term that is really fun to kind of take on as a way of reclaiming the way people can respond to you when you come out as, or feel the need to be like, sorry, but not every queer person's going to be in a same gender relationship.
We need badges that say obnoxious bisexual.
I'll work on it. Look, we'll be back with Roz after some community messages. But first,
here's Halsey and Marshmallow with their new song, Be Kind.
This is All By Myself, Triple Bypass's show within a show where Bi Plus folk share our stories. This is our second All By Myself episode. I'm Ruby, filling in for Claire. And if you want to hear the first one, that and every episode of Triple Bypass are available in podcast form on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, and wherever good podcasts are found. Now, I've been chatting with Roz Bellamy, and we've gone through, we've talked about Buffy fan fiction, we've talked about English classes in schools when you crush on your teacher and all the students, not all the students, I apologize, it was just one, and the teacher. Look, I know they say we're greedy, but sometimes I've definitely been in classrooms and I'm just like, there's too many of you that are pretty, and I want you to leave, please. But I'm wondering, you know, as someone who did come out again later in life, what are changes that you've noticed internally and externally since you've really been able to acknowledge and own your multigender attraction?
I guess I'm even Well, we were talking about being an obnoxious bi, and I, like, that really is so fitting for me. I find that, like, I'm willing to speak up in a way that I maybe didn't before, and not just because I've, you know, aged and matured, but also I feel more of a need to, because our little niche of the community, you know, while we're a big section of the queer alphabet, we face a lot of not so good things. So if I find, like, people are making assumptions around someone else's sexuality, or making a particular comment that shows, like, that lack of understanding, or putting labels on someone that don't necessarily fit them, I'm very loud and assertive about it in a way that, like, before I was kind of like, oh, you're being a bit homophobic, but, you know, I don't want to deal with the backlash, so I'm not going to say anything. Whereas, like, if there's biphobia going down or bi erasure, I'm, like, on it.
And I was wondering as well, like, we haven't talked about this yet, but did you find that having that security around sexuality helped with understanding around gender identity?
Yeah, I think there's, like, a really interesting overlap in terms of my non-binary identity and bisexual identity, where I guess, like, once I wrote that article and started probably coming out and identifying as bi, that's when I really started thinking more about my gender and my gender expression and, like, what gender means to me and all those sorts of things in a way that felt a lot freer than it did when I was, like, when I identified as a lesbian. And I feel like having multi-gender attraction, like, does kind of open that up, because when the gender or lack of gender in the person or people you're interested in, you know, either don't matter to you or just aren't part of that attraction, or just you don't care, like, you're just interested in the person, whatever it means to you, I think that can also open the doors, like, to your own gender expression, gender identity, and there's less of a need to, like, subscribe to one particular idea of, like, what your gender is. That was the case for me anyway. And, yeah, so I don't know. I think, like, it's a really interesting one. I'd love to see more research in that area, or, like, read more people's stories there around how multigender attraction and having, like, a gender diverse identity, like, how those things interact or don't interact. And, yeah, that's, it really interests me.
Yeah, because I know that it's been similar for myself. I think in part, like, getting to start this show over 4 years ago and meeting other BIPOC people and learning and understanding and reading more about it did help me kind of start to question. And I think before that, there just hadn't been any reason or any open spaces to explore or question in. How did you start to recognize that that was something you wanted to explore?
Around, like, being gender diverse?
Yes. If you don't mind.
No, I don't mind at all. Like, it's actually hard for me to like, recall that, which is weird. Like, I laugh at that because I write about all my experiences. So, like, in terms of my sexuality, it's such a well-trodden path for me that, like, I could write a case file on my sexuality. And when it comes to my gender, I don't, for whatever reason, have that same knowledge yet. And maybe that's because it's, like, awareness. And so I'm still trying to figure that out. But I know, like, when I started my PhD and I happened to be doing it at a research centre that's, like, the Research Centre of Sex, Health and Society, and so most people there are doing research in some capacity around sex, sexuality and gender, and I found that, like, a really great place to come into as, like, a newly emerging non-binary person. And at the time there was someone doing research there into non-binary identity, and I remember I asked them if I could read their honours thesis about non-binary identity, which they were like, yeah, no one ever wants to read, you know, no one's ever, like, interested in reading their research, so go for it. And reading it actually really helped me with putting words to it and, like, getting some stronger sense of kind of legibility around what it meant to me. So I found that really helpful. And, like, because they had interviewed different people and then kind of categorised their different experiences with gender diversity. And one of the ones that really spoke to me was, like, non-binary identity, partly as, like, a political category for them, where it's not, like, necessarily associated with dysphoria, or it might be, you know, sometimes, but not that being, like, the main thing that made them realize. And it's instead it being more along the lines of coming from like either a queer theory perspective or like a I don't believe in like a strict binary and that sort of thing. And then once your head comes to terms with and grapples with that, you start going, oh, well, if I don't think that binary should mean, you know, that it dictates how we dress or look or act or date or any of those things, that then that just keeps broadening and broadening like what can come under your own gender identity and your gender expression. And so for me, like reading that was actually really kind of pivotal and exciting, because at the time I was like very closeted about it. And even though I was at a research center that, you know, does pretty groundbreaking research often about those very topics, I remember sitting in meetings and like not using the pronouns I wanted to be used for myself because I felt kind of embarrassed. And because there was someone there who'd been out longer and was like very comfortable with using they, them pronouns. And I was like, okay, well, that's what a person who can feel comfortable, you know, to take up that space or to be out and like so confident about their gender. And I was like, oh, that's clearly not me. Like I'm still perceived as, you know, I was assigned female at birth and I'm very much taken to be female. I'm constantly misgendered, constantly called a lady, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So speaking up about it is like a whole other thing from like that self-identification.
Do you think it's in part because like sexuality is often about how we relate to other people, but gender is often how we relate to ourselves. So you do have to have all these conversations just with yourself and listen to yourself. Like, so was it finding words from other people to start putting those words in for yourself? Or have you been able to find people to talk to about it since then? Or is it something that you do really want to do on your own in that way?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I think you're right, like in terms of sexuality being more about how you relate to other people, and like I've often let that lead the way for me and call the shots for me, like, oh, I'm interested in this person, that must mean this, rather than it being about something innate and how I feel. And maybe that's also why my path with gender didn't happen until my 30s, because before that I just didn't think I kind of like had the right to have that identity. And it sounds weird, like especially now as things change, even though they're still like changing very slowly, but as things change and as people are using these labels more and more, and these terms I don't want to call it labels, like obviously as people are like open about who they are as well as like using the terminology suits that, but I think also like things were different before, and I think like to come out and to like speak your truth about who you are and all that sort of stuff tended to be more like if you have a story that other people understood more. So like maybe like transitioning from one gender to another gender, for example. And so I think like non-binary identity is still just not very well understood, even within the queer community. And yeah, it is something that's had to be a personal journey. But then, I think I'm really rambling about this answer because I'm still figuring a lot of it out. But I think one thing that's been helpful is like meeting a lot of other people who are trans and gender diverse and agender as well, and particularly online. And that's been really helpful because I think it just removes the element of like how you look physically. And instead you have these conversations about like how you feel or who you are and take all of that out of the equation. And then you can kind of bring that in when you feel comfortable.
Yeah, that's a really, I'd never thought of that before about why it can be easy to discuss these things online in those spaces, is because when you're presenting yourself just mostly through text, that's all people have to go on about you. So your thoughts are kind of how you're judged as opposed to how you look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a really big difference.
Just checking out all the beautiful brains. I love it.
Exactly. And there are some really, really amazing Australian trans non-binary people on Twitter, particularly where I spend a lot of time, who are just so supportive and so amazing. And there's one that somehow miraculously knows when things aren't great for me, not even because I've said anything. It's really weird. And they reach out privately and are like, how are you doing? I've noticed, I don't know, I just had this feeling. And like, there's just something about the community that's beautiful and like highly attuned to other people and like people's distress as well as people's celebrations. And yeah.
Well, it sounds like, and I know with my experience of figuring out what non-binary meant for me as well, like, because you do have to listen to yourself so intently. Maybe it's that we recognize you have to just learn to be very open to listening to other people as well, or noticing those things. I don't know. It's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very tricky.
Well, you know what's not tricky? This next song coming up, don't worry, I'll be right back with All By Myself right after this break. This is All By Myself, Triple Bypass's show within a show where Bypass folk share our stories. This is our second All By Myself episode. I'm Ruby, filling in for Claire, and if you want to hear the first one, that and every episode of Triple Bypass are available in podcast form on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, and wherever good podcasts are found. Now, I've been chatting with Roz Bellamy, and we've gone through, we've talked about Buffy fan fiction, we've talked about English classes in schools when you're crushing your teacher and all the students, not all the students, I apologize, it was just one, and the teacher. Look, I know they say we're greedy, but sometimes I've definitely been in classrooms and was like, there's too many of you that are pretty and I want you to leave, please. But I'm wondering, you know, as someone who did come out again later in life, what are changes that you've noticed internally and externally since you've really been able to acknowledge and own your multigender attraction?
I guess I'm even, well, we were talking about being an obnoxious bi.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that really is so fitting for me. I find that, like, I'm willing to speak up in a way that I maybe didn't before, and not just because I've, you know, aged and matured, but also I feel more of a need to, because our little niche of the community, you know, while we're a big section of the queer alphabet, we face a lot of not-so-good things.
Yeah.
So if I find, like, people are making assumptions around someone else's sexuality, or making a particular comment that shows like that lack of understanding, or putting labels on someone that don't necessarily fit them, I'm very loud and assertive about it in a way that, like, before I was kind of like, oh, you're being a bit homophobic, but, you know,
yeah,
I don't want to deal with the backlash, so I'm not going to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, if there's biphobia going down or bi erasure, I'm like on it.
And I was wondering as well, like, we haven't talked about this yet, but did you find that having that security around sexuality helped with understanding around gender identity?
Yeah, I think there's like a really interesting overlap in terms of my non-binary identity and bisexual identity, where I guess like once I wrote that article and started probably coming out and identifying as bi, that's when I really started thinking more about my gender and my gender expression and like what gender means to me and all those sorts of things in a way that felt a lot freer than it did when I was when I identified as a lesbian. And I feel like having multi-gender attraction like does kind of open that up, because when the gender or lack of gender in the person or people you're interested in, you know, either don't matter to you or just aren't part of that attraction, or just you don't care, like you're just interested in the person, whatever it means to you. I think that can also open the doors like to your own gender expression, gender identity, and there's less of a need to like subscribe to one particular idea of like what your gender is. That was the case for me anyway. And yeah, so I don't know, I think like it's a really interesting one. I'd love to see more research in that area, or like read more people's stories there around how multigender attraction and having like a gender diverse identity, like how those things interact or don't interact. And yeah, it really interests me.
Yeah, because I know that it's been similar for myself. I think in part like getting to start this show over 4 years ago and meeting other BIPOC people and learning and understanding and reading more about it did help me kind of start to question. And I think before that, there just hadn't been any reason or any open spaces to explore or question in.
Mm-hmm.
How did you start to recognize that that was something you wanted to explore?
Around like being gender diverse?
Yes, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind at all. Like, it's actually hard for me to like recall that, which is weird. Like, I laugh at that because I write about all my experiences, so like in terms of my sexuality, it's such a well-trodden path for me that like I could write a case file on my sexuality. And when it comes to my gender, I don't, for whatever reason, have that same knowledge yet. And maybe that's because it's like awareness, and so I'm still trying to figure that out. But I know like when I started my PhD, and I happen to be doing it at a research center that's like the Research Center of Sex, Health and Society, and so most people there are doing research in some capacity around sex, sexuality and gender. And I found that like a really great place to come into as like a newly emerging non-binary person.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, there was someone doing research there into non-binary identity. And I remember I asked them if I could read their honours thesis about non-binary identity, which they were like, yeah, no one ever wants to read, you know, no one's ever like interested in reading their research, so go for it. And reading it actually really helped me with putting words to it and like getting some stronger sense of kind of legibility around what it meant to me. So I found that really helpful. And like, because they had interviewed different people and then kind of categorized their different experiences with gender diversity. And one of the ones that really spoke to me was like non-binary identity, partly as like a political category for them, where it's not like necessarily associated with dysphoria, or it might be, you know, sometimes, but not that being like the main thing that made them realize.
Yeah.
And instead it being more along the lines of coming from like either a queer theory perspective or like a, I don't believe in like a strict binary and that sort of thing. And then once your head comes to terms with and grapples with that, you start going, oh, well, if I don't think that binary should mean, you know, that it dictates how we dress or look or act or date, yeah, or any of those things, that then that just keeps broadening and broadening like what can come under your own gender identity and your gender expression. And so for me, like reading that was actually really kind of pivotal and exciting, because at the time I was like very closeted about it. And even though I was at a research center that, you know, does pretty groundbreaking research often about those very topics, I remember sitting in meetings and like not using the pronouns I wanted to be used for myself because I felt kind of embarrassed. And because there was someone there who'd been out longer and was like very comfortable with using they, them pronouns. And I was like, okay, well, that's what a person who can feel comfortable, you know, to take up that space or to be out and, mm, and like so confident about their gender. And I was like, oh, that's clearly not me. Like, I'm still perceived as, you know, I was assigned female at birth and I'm very much taken to be female. I'm constantly misgendered, constantly called a lady, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so speaking up about it is like a whole other thing from like that self-identification.
Do you think it's in part because like sexuality is often about how we relate to other people, but gender is often how we relate to ourselves? So you do have to have all these conversations just with yourself and listen to yourself. Like, so was it finding words from other people to start putting those words in for yourself? Or have you been able to find people to talk to about it since then? Or is it something that you do really want to do on your own in that way?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I think you're right, like in terms of sexuality being more about how you relate to other people, and like I've often let that lead the way for me and call the shots for me, like, oh, I'm interested in this person, that must mean this, rather than it being about something innate and how I feel. And maybe that's also why my path with gender didn't happen until my 30s, because before that I just didn't think I kind of like had the right to have that identity
of, yeah,
like, and it sounds weird, like especially now as things change, even though they're still like changing very slowly, but as things change and as people are using these labels more and more, and these terms I don't want to call it labels, like obviously as people are like open about who they are as well as like using the terminology, mm, suits that, but I think also like things were different before, and I think like to come out and to like speak your truth about who you are and all that sort of stuff tended to be more like if you have a story that other people understood more. So like maybe like transitioning from one gender to another gender,
mm-hmm,
for example. And so I think like non-binary identity is still just not very well understood, even within the queer community. And yeah, it is something that's had to be a personal journey. But then, yeah, I think I'm really rambling about this answer because I'm still figuring a lot of it out. But I think one thing that's been helpful is like meeting a lot of other people who are trans and gender diverse and agender as well, and particularly online. And that's been really helpful because I think it just removes the element of like how you look physically. And instead you have these conversations about like how you feel or who you are and take all of that out of the equation. And then you can kind of bring that in when you feel comfortable.
Yeah, that's a really, I'd never thought of that before about why it can be easy to discuss these things online in those spaces, is because when you're presenting yourself just mostly through text, that's all people have to go on about you. So your thoughts are kind of how you're judged as opposed to how you look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a really big difference.
Just checking out all the beautiful brains. I love it.
Thanks exactly. And there are some really, really amazing Australian trans non-binary people on Twitter, particularly where I spend a lot of time, who are just so supportive and so amazing. And there's one that somehow miraculously knows when things aren't great for me, not even because I've said anything. It's really weird. And they reach out privately and are like, how are you doing? I've noticed, I don't know, I just had this feeling. And like, there's just something about the community that's beautiful and like highly attuned to other people and like people's distress as well as people's celebrations. And yeah.
Well, it sounds like, and I know with my experience of figuring out what non-binary meant for me as well, like, because you do have to listen to yourself so intently, maybe it's that we recognize you have to just learn to be very open to listening to other people as well, or noticing those things. I don't know. It's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very tricky.
Well, you know what's not tricky? This next song coming up. Don't worry, I'll be right back with All By Myself right after this break. This is Triple Bypass, and you're listening to All By Myself, our monthly coming out show where we get to explore the stories of our Bi Plus community. I'm Ruby, filling in for Claire, and I'm here with Ross Bellamy. Hi, Ross.
Hello.
We've been having a really wonderful chat around coming out and around how bisexuality and gender identity can start to blur into each other and lead to different explorations. It's been fascinating, and luckily you'll be able to listen to all of this as a podcast if you want to later. But, Ross, I thought as we do have to finish up, I wanted to wonder about what has been helpful for you since you came out, again, as bi in 2015, really publicly, and what has been helpful for you in continuing that, as we talked about, being an obnoxious bisexuality, of really feeling that being bi and bi plus people were worth protecting and standing up for and speaking up for?
Yeah, well, I mean, I started out today talking about you, and like, I know you said to like focus on me, but I still like have to say a little bit there where like I think it's a really important thing to acknowledge. And you've mentioned to me before that there are lots of people who add to the community in different ways, and I think we're really lucky here in Melbourne particularly, where there's like an amazing Bi Plus community. I know there's also little pockets of Bi Plus activity happening elsewhere that's great as well, but I just feel so fortunate to be here and part of this one. And I just feel like, yeah, what you've created and what I see, even when I haven't been able to be part of it for various reasons. And physically, I wasn't back in Australia for Pride March, but like seeing what the bi contingent looked like and like seeing the flag, seeing the faces and the gorgeousness of everyone. And it just creates this beautiful pride. And like we say pride so much that it feels like overused, but I think like it was the essential feeling of it, like just looking at that and being like, that's my community. You know, if I was back here and physically could be there, like that's a place where I belong. And in lots of other communities, there are various reasons why that's not the case. And I think like, it's just, yeah, like this thing that you've created, and okay, yes, with other people too, but you're a huge part of it, just has created this sense of, I don't know, like, I think because you've built it in a way that has so many different levels, and like, the social and the support and the fun and the, you know, the nitty gritty conversations and all of those things. And so there's just something there regardless of what you're looking for and what you need. And that community online as well is just like, there's just such an amazing feeling of safety. And I know like if something happens in the outer world, I can go there and like, it's just this safe community. And so that's been huge. So thank you. And aside from that, I think like things like continuing representation, and I was talking to a bi friend recently who's also a writer, and I mentioned like, I want to read some bi novels. Are there any like good bi novels? And like, she just reeled off this list, and I'm like, holy shit, like when did that happen? You know, like, I just love that that's such a thing now, and that that's happening like in Australia as well as other countries. So like exciting stuff in literature, in music, and also on TV. And like one of the things that I watched recently that I got pretty obsessed with was Vida. And just seeing the main character, Emma, getting out there like sexually and romantically with different genders, and like the way they portrayed it, where it wasn't, not to go into a whole thing about the show, but like identity stuff aside, the physical side of it was no question. It was just like, cool, this is just who I am, what I do, you know? And like, I think just the fluidity of that and the way it was like intertwined with things around like race and community and culture, was just like a really exciting thing to see and just such a sign of positive change and growth. Yeah.
What have been some of your favourite representations that have come about in the last few years?
In like books or in what form?
In any form.
So aside from Vita, I really have enjoyed like seeing non-binary identity more and more on the screen. It's still pretty limited.
Yeah.
But like in the American show, The Politician, and the show Work in Progress as well, and Billions. Like those are just like off the top of my head, and like two of them, you know, it's the same non-binary actor. It's a small pool, but the fact that it's happening I think is pretty exciting. And then just seeing like different actors as well getting more of an opportunity, I guess, to play gender diverse roles, or like people who, actors who are gender diverse, or yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that was a helpful answer. But
absolutely, no. I you know, I think that's really great, because I think you're right. There has been this kind of massive uptick in media and books about how those things are explored and what people are willing to show and what people are willing to talk about and what they're willing to show in a way that isn't always defined by that character being traumatized by that part of their identity.
Yes. Yeah, where there's like actually the option, like there's the room for them to have storylines that are just completely removed from that. And if a romantic or sexual plot, it's like their gender is not, you know, the center of everything. It's just a little side point. Like, I think that's really exciting and cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that often we start our show with is when we look at news, we tend to, bisexual news is often about people coming out. And I suppose the thing is that pretty much every week there are more people coming out as explicitly bisexual or explicitly pansexual. And do you think that that has an impact?
I think it has a huge impact. Like, especially, I think there's like a bit of a generational thing, like where younger generations are maybe seeing young actors coming out, and then also like say on TikTok and YouTube and wherever they're spending their time, they're seeing people like be very open, like openly fluid about things. And then older generations are getting to see younger generations do that and then kind of get to be part of that as well in a way that feels different from like the way they grew up. So I know like for me, one question I occasionally will get from someone is like, did you learn about like your non-binary identity through things like Tumblr and like, or through any of those sites? And I'm like, no, like some of it, I didn't have that language before it was, you know, more known about and online and in media in different forms, but that doesn't matter. Like the fact that it's happening now is exciting and is means that it's like reaching people more broadly, I think, than like it would have in the past.
Absolutely. I suppose as well, though, do you think that often, you know, I've talked on the show before about how I find TikTok wildly confusing and at times quite scary, but I can also appreciate that it is a huge wealth of information for people looking to see and hear and understand more about gender and sexuality. But do you think that older people who maybe do find it a bit harder to access Tumblr speak or even just some technologies and like social media, let alone TikTok, what would you suggest for people who are looking to find information and stuff that is going to be not necessarily just defining bisexuality by a bunch of memes that they might not totally be able to grasp or feel represent them?
Yeah, I mean, I know people who are younger too who have that issue. And I guess, like, again, that thing of finding community is so important, and, like, not everyone has that access, and, like, it depends where you live and, like, you know, how much time you spend online, how comfortable you feel navigating spaces online and on social media. But generally, I think there's just so much more out there now that if you're looking for it, like if you're thinking about it, if you're listening to this and like trying to work things out, like do go on a little kind of Google search tangent. And there's so much there that if something doesn't feel right, keep going. But I think the more you kind of educate yourself and kind of see what's out there, the more possibilities that's going to open up for you. And so I've like had conversations with people who identify as gay or lesbian, where when I start talking about things, they're like, you know, hearing that, I think I kind of probably am bi, but, and then, you know, they have some reason they don't identify that way, or that they wouldn't feel comfortable now, or whatever it is. And I'm like, for some people particularly, I'm like, you know, it's absolutely yours to get to decide that. Like, yeah. Don't feel because of your partner or your family or your friends that you know, you came out one way or you never came out at all and so now you're kind of stuck. You're not. Like, even if you just have us in the online space as yeah. support and friends, like, that's going to give you that space to be who you are.
And I think that's the sense, isn't it? It's knowing that you're making connections as the person that you are and you don't have to be holding anything back or waiting or anticipating a change if they hear something new, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, you know, cuffed jeans, though.
What's that?
Cuffed jeans. It's just yeah. I just think I think it's interesting because of that stuff. A part of me is really excited that there are kind of joking stereotypes, because before, when I was growing up, all the stereotypes were so negative and so hypersexual or like literal psychopathic. And now the jokes are about not being able to sit on chairs and cuffing your jeans and having a bob haircut and wearing a cool jacket. And I suppose a part of me recognizes that any kind of attempt to silo will leave people feeling left out. But another part of me is thinking of how there's this kind of new kind of in-joke celebration of the dorky, awkward nature of a lot of bi-plus people. It's yeah. And I do want people to feel like that isn't saying if you don't do those things, there's anything wrong and that you're not valid in your identity. And I think it's tricky, isn't it, to kind of figure out that there can be jokes that maybe you don't think represent your experience of bisexuality, but that's not delegitimizing your experience, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think there are places as well if that doesn't suit, like, you know, for those who find it like it doesn't describe them or it irritates them or whatever, like, there are other spaces as well. And not saying they're not welcome in those.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you can be in a group where everyone's obsessed with, you know, finger guns and you don't have to be into that kind of, like, that's fine, you know.
Yeah.
But also there are spaces where, like, people are being much more serious and not joking about those things. And, like, I think there's enough now, thankfully, that, like, there's that room to kind of pick and choose what works for you.
Absolutely. And I think if you're listening to this and you would like to find out more about those places near you, if you are living in Australia, you can email the Melbourne Bisexual Network, the Sydney Bi-Plus Network, the Brisbane Bi-Plus Network, the Bi-Plus community of Perth, and also Kindred Spirits in South Australia, and folks there will be able to point you in some directions. And if you're living outside, have a Google of your area and bisexual network, because there's a lot of them around the place, and people might be able to help link you up with some community goodness, because it sounds like you're definitely not all by yourself, Roz.
No, I'm not, and I'm really grateful for that.
I'm grateful too. I'm grateful you're here with me. But we have to wrap up another episode of All By Myself, Triple Bi-Plus, a show within a show. We're back next week to bring you more of the Bi-Plus agenda. And, of course, you can find every episode ever as a podcast at joy.org.au/Triple Bi-Plus or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've got a friend who'd enjoy it, let them know, because that's what community is all about. Jump on our socials, Facebook, Triple Bi-Plus, Instagram, Triple Bi-Plus, Joy. Email us at any time at triplebypass@joy.org.au. I'm Ruby. I've been here with Roz. Roz, you want to drop any of your social handles or plug anything?
Yeah, so my socials are Bella Roz, so BELLARROZ, and that's on Twitter and Insta. And I am pretty loud about all the things I'm doing on there. So, yeah, that would be great.
Can confirm it's quality Twitter content.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Roz. It's been wonderful to have you. Everyone, take care of yourselves, be safe, and we'll see you next week.